If you've ever watched the animated show South Park, you know that two things they love satirizing are organized religion and musical theater. A couple of years ago, they did a whole musical episode about Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism.
I have, in my possession, an ancient book written on gold plates that tells of Jesus Christ's second coming, here, in America.
In America? Really? That sounds kind of...
Dum, 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 dum.
And now Trey Parker and Matt Stone have upped the stakes with a full-length Broadway musical. It's turned out to be the biggest hit of the season and the best show of the 21st century so far. It's called The Book of Mormon.
Have you heard of the All-American Prophet? The blonde-haired, blue-eyed voice of God. He didn't come from the Middle East like those other holy men. No, God's favorite prophet was All-American.
The show is up for 14 Tony Awards this weekend. It follows this odd couple of Mormon missionaries who are sent to evangelize in Uganda. It has shockingly vile jokes and nonstop profanity, but it's also got tremendous intelligence and heart. And a lot of that has to do with the composer Robert Lopez, who was best known before this for the un-PC puppet musical Avenue Q. To hear him tell it, it's almost as if working with the South Park dudes was destiny.
The South Park movie, for me, was a completely seminal experience, totally influenced me. And one thing that the musical hadn't done until the South Park movie, it had done it in pockets. It had done it at in a lot of media. It had done it in the producers, the movie.
And Urinetown, I would argue.
Well, that came after.
Well, there you go.
And modern comedy of the Monty Python, Mike Nichols variety had yet to kind of penetrate musical theater until the South Park movie.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fight and curse.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
With all their beady little eyes and flapping heads so full of lies.
Blame Canada.
It's sort of like a laugh-through show where comedy is an element that's integrated with the storytelling. And that was something that I was always interested in doing, and I kind of wrung my hands a bit when I saw the movie and told myself, I sort of lit a fire under me to get working on my own stuff.
Well, one of the great songs of the many great songs in Book of Mormon is Turn It Off. Tell me how that came about.
We assumed that there would be some character that would have to deal with his gayness and suppress it.
And how does that song go? Can you play a bit?
It goes,
I got a feeling that you could be feeling a whole lot better than you feel today. You say you got a problem, well that's no problem. It's super easy not to feel that way. When you start to get confused because of thoughts in your head, don't feel those feelings. Hold them in instead. Turn it off like a light switch. Just go click. It's a cool little Mormon trick. We do it all the time when you're feeling certain feelings that just don't seem right. Treat those pesky feelings like a reading light and turn them off. Like, this is the composer tempo. I think they do it quite a bit slower.
But unlike most composers, you can actually sing.
Well, that's an overstatement, but thank you.
And on stage at the big theater, that song turns into this gigantic tap number, which is fantastic and very classic old-timey Broadway musical theater. Even as it's being the thing in a completely satisfying way, it's also parodying the thing, yeah?
I suppose. I mean, the thing about that song is that it doesn't have a lot of joy in it when you really look at the music. It's very repetitive and it's very kind of constricted and contained. And every time one of the Mormons goes into a recounting of a feeling that he's had to turn off, the music expands a little bit and gets a little bit warmer and gets a little bit realer, and then it kind of gets smacked down and it goes back into this.
No, and the very one of the brilliances of it is that very kind of willful repetitiveness of it reflects what the song's about.
Yeah, it's like Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy from Ren and Stimpy.
There you go. Not, one of my favorites.
Yes. Not happy, really, but...
yes, but we'll say so. What is it about Mormon missionaries that makes them and their approach to the world and who they are and how they look feel so natural when they break into song?
Well, I think there's a certain way that missionaries have to behave in order to get you interested. It's, you know, it's very much of, you know, an aggressively bright and optimistic and friendly demeanor that they present. And Mormon households are very, very sweet. Mormon kids love being at home with their families. You know, there's this thing called family home evening where they're not allowed any caffeinated drinks anyway, but they turn off the TV altogether and they play board games and they read scripture and they play musical instruments and sing and hold hands. And it sounds
short
like something.
Short of the scripture and coffee, that was how I raised my children.
That's great.
You grew up in New York City singing in churches?
Yeah,
how
actually.
How is that possible? Not that there aren't churches in New York City.
You know, it's weird. I went to Hunter High School.
One of the selective public high schools in New York.
They had just implemented this community service program where we had to do a certain number of hours in order to graduate. And the way I kind of got around having to do mine because I was lazy was to become a cantor in my neighborhood church. I basically got up and lifted my arms up and sort of sang, "The Lord be with you."
Were you a church goer?
I was because I went to Sunday school. My parents gave me that option. You know, I was exposed to this wealth of the hymnal, the Episcopal hymnal. It's the same music that Andrew Lloyd Webber grew up listening to. He's a choir boy, and it's really, really rich melodic music. And actually, a couple of those tunes found their way into the score.
Really,
without my realizing it, the melody to Hasadiga Ibawai, the African song, which is sort of our Hakuna Matata, is very much kind of like there's a hymn that goes, "Creator of the stars at night, na 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 na," and our tune goes, "There isn't enough food to eat, Hasadiga Ibawai." You know, the elements
kind of
this
Anglican reggae.
Anglican reggae. You know, they're really open, that church, so I wouldn't put it past them.
There are, throughout the show, lots and lots of allusions to other musicals, yeah? Chorus mm-hmm. Line, Music Man, Lion yeah. King.
One of the earliest ones that we did was Elder Price, when he first steps forward.
Who's the main young Mitt Romney-like leading man of the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, the super Mormon, the chiseled, good-looking one. Everyone's being assigned a location and paired up with a partner to go out on their mission, and we wanted a moment where he was picked out by the spotlight and sort of just had his little interior moment with the audience. So we kind of pulled on the I hope I get it kind of, I really need this job kind of thing.
This being, by the way, a chorus line allusion.
Yes.
So many places, where will I go on my mission? Will it be China or old Mexico on my mission?
And you kind of get the idea. It's very like bright-eyed and, God, I hope I get it.
And then he finds out it's Uganda, and they're less than thrilled.
Right.
There are jokes the first time they're made in this show make people gasp. About AIDS, about sex with babies, and so forth. Was there ever a moment when you thought, like, "Whoa, we're really going over the edge. It's going to be bad for my career"?
Well, we were talking about this baby rape thing really early in the process, and this is a real thing that you know we had researched. And you know, there was a moment where, because I had just had my first daughter had just been born, and there was one moment where I was like, you know, and then I just stopped myself. I said, let's go with this. This is going to be great. I know it's going to be great. Just put aside that whole feeling, because I know it's just going
to
work.
And it's hard for listeners who've not seen this show to imagine that such a thing isn't just horrendous and offensive. I mean, it's the description of that. It's really hard to imagine. And of course, you've done the genius. You and your collaborators done the genius of contextualizing that in a way that you don't run out of the theater horrified.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of need to see the show to understand how that could be funny.
Before Book of Mormon, you were best known for Avenue Q, which is this hugely successful musical with singing, dancing, fornicating Muppet-like puppets. Mm-hmm. And one of the excellent songs from that show that now these many years ago caused everyone to gasp and laugh, which is called Everyone's a Little Bit Racist.
Everyone makes judgments based on race.
No, not big judgments like who to hire or who to buy a newspaper from.
No.
No, just little judgments like thinking that Mexican busboys should learn to speak goddamn English.
Right.
Everyone's a little bit racist today. So everyone's a little bit racist. Okay. Ethnic jokes might
this
be
sort of cheerful, shockingly honest and un-PC, but still redemptive vision. Is that Bobby Lopez?
Well, I like to use music in ways that aren't necessarily expected. You know, you sort of use the sunniness of music or the sadness of music in a way that it hasn't been used before. And I think that's the only real way. It's the only real territory left to be original in musical theater. It's not constructing melodies that have never been heard before. It's not even finding music that the audience hasn't heard before to bring into a musical situation. It's using music in a way that's unexpected. And I that's what I try and do no matter whether it's for funny or for serious.
Do you now have a dream idea of, oh, I want to work with this person?
Well, I'm in the middle of a couple of projects. I have a movie coming out actually this summer that I did with my wife who's a songwriter too, and it's one of the Disney movies that's coming out. It's
what is it?
Winnie the Pooh.
Really?
Yeah. It's coming out on the same day as Harry Potter. So see it the next day.
And is this a retelling with vile jokes of the Winnie the Pooh story?
No, it's one for the kids. It's definitely, I mean, it's for kids that are so young that all the jokes in Book of Mormon would go over their head.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Bobby Lopez, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
The Book of Mormon is up for 14 Tony Awards and, in my opinion, deserves to win pretty much every one.
Gee, thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Will you play I Believe so we can go out on that?
Sure.
Ever since I was a child, I've tried to be the best. So what happened? My family and friends all said I was blessed. So what happened? It was supposed to be all so exciting to be teaching of Christ across the sea, but I allowed my faith to be shaken. Oh, what's the matter with me? I've always longed to help the needy, to do the things I've never dared. This was the time for me to step up, so then why was I so scared? A warlord who shoots people in the face, what's so scary about that? I've got a Lord who is mightier, who always has my back. Now I must be completely devout. I can't have even one shred of doubt. I believe
that the Lord God created the universe. I believe that He sent His only Son to die for my sins. And I believe that ancient Jews built boats and sailed to America. I am a Mormon, and a Mormon just